Peter. First Peter, chapter 4. You're going to look at verses 7 through 9. First Peter 4, 7 through 9. We're continuing to go through the one another commands found in the scriptures. The one another commands show us how we're to live as the community of God's people, as the covenant community. And today we're looking at the command to show hospitality to one another. To show hospitality to one another. I have two more one another commands that I'm going to focus on over the next 3 weeks. Duncan Lowe will be preaching for us next week, and then following 2 weeks we'll finish up the one another series. So 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 7. This is God's holy word. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. A few years ago, I was talking to a young man in another congregation, and we got to talking about how he became a Christian or began to take Christianity more seriously. We were talking about how God had grabbed hold of his life. He was a student at Geneva a number of years ago. And when he came to Geneva, he was a Christian. But as he looks back on it, he realized how much of a baby Christian he was. He'd grown up in a very nominal Christian home. His family had claimed to be Christians. They were they looked the part on Sunday, but it didn't play out in their everyday lives. It didn't impact their relationships. It didn't impact the way their family functioned. It didn't impact the way that they lived throughout the week. There wasn't a change. And he'd been going to a church that, as he looked back on it, was shallow in their understanding of how Christianity impacts every part of our lives, how we are to live lives in submission to Christ, our King, and how God's Word is much more than just something to direct us on Sunday morning, but it directs us in every part of life. And so he'd grown up with this very compartmentalized concept of Christianity. Yeah, you go to heaven when you die, and you go to church on Sunday, but the rest of your life really stays generally the same. Well, here at Geneva, he met an older man who took interest in his life. And after they had developed a relationship, this man invited him over to his house for a meal, for dinner, with his family. And it was at that meal that God really grabbed hold of his life. That dinner left a lasting impression on this young man because at this meal he got to see two things. First, this man cared enough about him to invite him into his home, to share a little piece of his life with him. And until now, he didn't really know that that was something that people did. And second, what impacted him the most was that he got to see this man live his life and interact with his family in a distinctly Christian way, in service to God. Every part of his life, including his home life, was impacted by this Christianity. His interactions with his wife were different. His interactions with his kids were different. The way his house ran was different. So it was at this simple meal. It was this simple show of hospitality that God used to grab this student's life. To show him what it really means to be a Christian with all of our lives, with every day of the week. It's given more to guide us in our life. It's not just to guide us on Sunday morning, but to guide us in our entire lives. There are lots of stories like this. I've heard a number of stories where God has used hospitality to change people's lives. It wasn't through debate. It wasn't through direct presentation of the gospel. It wasn't through long, long conversation necessarily. But it was simply seeing the act of hospitality, experiencing the act of hospitality. Hospitality is one of the most effective tools for building the church, both in numbers and in maturity. And by welcoming people into your life and into your home, into your heart, you can point them to Christ. As a community of God's people, we are called to be hospitable to one another. And as we do this, we will see Christ build His church, strengthen His people. We are called to be hospitable to one another. Now, what does it mean to be hospitable? What does this word mean? What does it mean? What does hospitality mean? Well, a simple dictionary definition for the word hospitality is to receive guests or strangers in a friendly manner. To receive guests or strangers in a friendly manner. To treat guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way, gracious way. It most definitely includes receiving guests or strangers into your home, but it's not limited to that. A lot of times when we think of hospitality, we think of this elaborate meal in our house. But there's more to hospitality than that. In general, it's simply welcoming, warmly receiving guests and strangers. So you can be hospitable on the street, or at work, or at church, or at your home. Hospitality is a way of life. It's a way that you treat people, not just an act that you do. And then going a step further, hospitality communicates protection and care for this guest. The Greek understanding of hospitality included this idea of care and protection. You don't just take care of them, but you actually care for them. You communicate care for them. You go out of your way to care for them, and you make sure that they feel that they're safe, that it's a safe place where they're at. Hospitality doesn't just mean that you give them what they need, but it means that you care about them. You open your heart to them. There are people who will welcome someone into their home, but they make sure that that person knows that you're sort of being an inconvenience for them. And sure, they're giving you things, or the things that they need, they're meeting needs, but there's no communication of care. It's done begrudgingly. So real, genuine hospitality means that the host acts as if it's an honor to serve this guest or stranger. They do it joyfully, not begrudgingly. So a person who is hospitable considers it an honor to take care of their guests, to protect them, to provide safety for them, to make them feel comfortable. Now, how important is this really in the community of God's people? The Greek word for hospitality is not used very often in the Bible, really. As far as I can tell, from my word searches, I could only find it used 6 times in the New Testament. And so if you just go by word count, it doesn't seem that much of an important concept in the community. But if we look at the whole of the Bible, we can see how important God considers hospitality to be. And I want to point out 2 things. I want to look at 2 things that indicate the importance of hospitality. The first thing that indicates the importance of hospitality is the context in which the word is used. So it's only used 6 times, but as we look at the context of these words, we'll see how important this concept really is. Hospitable is used 2 times in the qualification for an elder. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, Paul says that an elder must be hospitable. And in those short lists of qualifications for an elder, there are only a few of them that are actually repeated. Husband of one wife, he must be above reproach, and he must be hospitable. Being the husband of one wife and being above reproach are unquestionably important. We recognize that. But here, Paul sort of prioritizes it with these other qualifications. He prioritizes hospitality with these other qualifications. Hospitality is important. And then looking at the passage that we just read at the beginning, in 1 Peter, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded so that you can pray. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. If you look at the context of this passage, Peter is, first of all, reminding us that the end is near, the end is at hand, Christ will return soon. And so he's urging us to focus on the really important things in life. And then he lists three really important things in life. He's trying to get us to stop wasting our time doing the unimportant things and focus on what's eternally important. And the three things that he names are prayer, love, and hospitality. The end is near, so spend your time doing these important things. Pray earnestly, love intensely, and practice hospitality. Now we can all understand the importance of love and prayer. I'm guessing that most of us will consider these important characteristics of the Christian life, but I'm also guessing that we wouldn't have put hospitality in the same group. We wouldn't have put it in the same category of importance, but yet that's what Peter does here. Just as you are called to love and to pray, you're called to show hospitality. It has eternal value. So although the term hospitality doesn't appear very often in the Bible, we can see that there is eternal importance and major significance in being hospitable. It's not an optional kind of thing. This is what we're to strive for and work towards and incorporate into our lives, to be hospitable. Remember, it's not just an act, but it's a frame of mind. Being hospitable. So we see the importance of hospitality by simply looking at the context of how the word is used in the New Testament. And the second thing that indicates the importance of hospitality is that although the word itself isn't used very often in Scripture, there are loads and loads of examples of hospitality throughout the Bible. The first and greatest expression of hospitality is the kind of hospitality that God shows to us. Remember what hospitality is. Hospitality is receiving a guest, caring for them, protecting them, and making sure they feel comfortable. Well, right at the beginning of the Bible, we are given the picture of hospitality. After God created the heavens and the earth, he created Adam and Eve. And he took Adam and Eve and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And he provided for them, fed them, and gave them what they needed. God enjoyed the role of playing host to these image bearers of his. He cared for them. He lavishly provided Adam and Eve with everything that they needed for protection and comfort. He didn't treat them like an inconvenience. He didn't treat them. He treated them as better than himself. What Jesus did for us. He came to serve. He treated them like his own family. Later in the book of Exodus, God met with his people on Mount Sinai. God was present in a very special way on the top of that mountain. And there was lightning and storm and fire on the top of that mountain, signifying the presence of God. And the people of God were not allowed to touch the mountain. That is, until the sacrifices were completed. Once the sacrifices were completed, God invited up the elders of the people, who represented the whole of the people. And they came up on the mountain, and it says that God provided a meal for them, and it says that they saw God, and they ate, and they drank. God welcomed them into his house and provided for them, gave them comfort and safety, provided a meal for them to eat and drink. And then later on, when the temple was built, God welcomed his people to come and meet with him at his house, in his temple. That's where the sacrifices were offered. And through those sacrifices, a relationship of peace was established. And that's where the people of God swore allegiance to the God that cared and protected them, cared for and protected them. God welcomed, again, his people into his house to care for them. Now think about how Christ shows hospitality. He didn't have a house of his own to entertain. He borrowed other people's houses. But remember, hospitality is not just having a meal, having people in for a meal. It's a way of life. And so when the hurting and the sick and the broken and the sinful came to Jesus, he welcomed them and served them and forgave them and healed them. He made them feel comfortable and cared for and protected. He spoke and interacted with people that much of the people in the society didn't want anything to do with. And so he was this very gracious, welcoming host. Think of the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come after me. Come to me and drink." He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." These are the words of a gracious host, welcoming his people into his house to care for them, provide for them, protect them, provide safety. Think about when Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. He considered it his responsibility to serve. He was the one who washed his disciples' feet. He's the one who offered them a cup to drink and bread to eat. He offered his body to them. He is the gracious host that came to serve, to care for us, and to protect us. God is just as gracious of a host to us today. God welcomes us into his house every week to gather with his people. And every week he promises care and protection. And together we eat and drink with him. We feed on his words. We offer to him prayer. God promises his care and protection once again, and we are reminded that God is always with us and he never leaves us or forsakes us. He is a gracious host. And then think about when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are actually invited to the table of the Lord, where Jesus is the host. And as the host, he freely, not begrudgingly, but freely offers his body to you and me. And we eat with him. And we feed on him spiritually. He is the most gracious, most hospitable host. And then after the death and resurrection of Christ, he was seated on the throne and he now rules over all the heavens and the earth. This whole world is his house. We hide under the shadow of his wings and he cares for us as a gracious king. He welcomes us in his kingdom. He treats us as his own family. He cares for us. And then on that day of resurrection, what we get to look forward to when he returns for us to all see, we get to see him with our eyes. Jesus will welcome us into his presence and we will eat and drink with him at that great wedding feast. And we will live in that house that has many, many rooms that he prepared for us, welcoming us into his house to provide for us, to be gracious to us, to care for us, to provide safety. God is that gracious host that has reached out to us to welcome us into his house. Hospitality is the essence of what God has done for us. It's really the essence of the gospel. God, through Jesus Christ, has invited us, enemies and strangers, into his house. He adopts us and cares for us and treats us as his own children, protecting us and providing for us. If you trust in Jesus Christ, then this is what you have received. You are the recipient of divine hospitality. To be hospitable is much more than a peripheral command for us. But it's at the core of what God has done for us. It's to be at the core of how we live this life. The core of our lives. It's this way that we get to reflect the glory of God. There are also all kinds of commands or all kinds of examples of hospitality extended from one person to another throughout Scripture. We see most fully the hospitality that God extends to us, but the hospitality of one to another. When the Lord appeared to Abram in Genesis in the form of three men, Abram considered it a deep honor and his responsibility to care and serve for these men, to extend them hospitality. And he urged them to stay and wash their feet and rest and eat with him. So Abram had a calf slaughtered and cooked, and they ate. Or when Moses fled from Egypt after killing the Egyptian, he went to Midian, and the priest of Midian extended a hand of hospitality to Moses. And Moses stayed with him for many years. Or when Elijah went to a small town called Zarephath, and there he met a widow who had just enough to eat for one more meal. But she gave that last bit of food to Elijah, and God blessed her for that because she extended hospitality. In the New Testament, as we heard last week at the evening service, Jesus expects us to show hospitality. In fact, that's a defining characteristic of a Christian. He says in Matthew 25, Jesus said, For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. But then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And he said, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me. Those are acts of hospitality and kindness. And Jesus says that that's going to be the defining characteristic at the judgment day of those who cling to him. The fruit of our faith is this kind of hospitality. As Christians, this is the kind of hospitality we are called to extend. Or the story of the Good Samaritan is a story of hospitality. Taking care of a stranger, seeing to it that he gets what he needs, caring for him, serving him. In Acts, after Paul was converted, this persecutor of the church, after he was converted, he was welcomed into the homes of Christians and into the communities of the church. In the early church, it says that all who believed had all things together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. Hospitality. Extending to one another. Taking responsibility for the well-being of a brother or sister. This is not just a peripheral command, sort of a, you know, I'll do it if I have time, but this is at the core of how we're to interact with one another. It's to be at the core of how we live. It's to be a part of your life and my life. We're to be hospitable one to another. Oftentimes we consider hospitality as a gift that only some are given. A gift that only some people have, sort of, and so we just sort of leave hospitality to them. And it's true that there are some people who are just naturally good at it, and for others it's a hard, hard struggle. But it's not a spiritual gift that only some have. But rather it's a frame of mind, it's a skill that we can develop. It's a skill that we're called to practice. And so we have to constantly and intentionally nurture this command to be hospitable one to another. But remember that a skill takes time to learn and develop. You won't be good at it right off the bat. You're going to learn what works and what doesn't work. You're going to learn shortcuts. You're going to figure out how to do it well. In order to practice hospitality, we're called... The kind of hospitality that we're called to have is that we have to first have the right motivation. We have to have the right motivation. Genuine hospitality arises out of a sense of humility, of humble gratitude, giving thanks to God for the hospitality that He's shown to us. Remembering that God has welcomed us through Jesus Christ as strangers into His house. He's given us new hearts and adopted us as His family. We don't deserve this kindness. Hospitality isn't done so that people will look at us and think highly of us, but hospitality is simply done in humble gratitude because of what God has done for us. Otherwise, the motivation is completely flawed and genuine hospitality will not be extended. Only when you understand the kind of hospitality that you've been given will you have the right frame of mind to extend hospitality to one another. With the right motivation in place, now let's consider what it looks like to be hospitable. Hospitality is maybe one of the most exhilarating and exciting things to do, but it's also one of the hardest things to do. I remember the first time I came here to College Hill, and I had people over to my house for Sunday lunch. And I had to wake up early to prepare a meal, and then I had to host, and then I had to clean up. And it took so much time that the sermon that night didn't really work out well for me. It takes a lot of work. I've been the recipient of so much hospitality, and I take for granted how much work it takes. And so, yes, it's one of the most exhilarating things, but it's hard. It takes planning and time, intentionality. It's difficult, particularly in our own busy lives, to add one more thing to the list of things to do. It takes time and planning and flexibility and availability. And so at this point, some of our lives are already so full that we cannot fit one more thing in there. We can't squeeze another thing into our weeks. And so we end up not being able to offer hospitality. We end up not being able to have the flexibility to have people over or to reach out to people. Well, if hospitality is to be so central to the Christian life, then what can you or what do you need to get rid of in order to extend hospitality? You can't cram another thing in. You might do it if you try to just cram another thing in, you may do it at the expense of your family, the expense of your marriage, the expense of your kids. You have to make time for it. Don't just cram it in. This isn't just another thing to do, but make room for it. Make it a priority. So what does it look like? When you make time for it, what does it look like? How can you show hospitality? What does it look like to welcome others? Well, let's start here at the church. Hospitality is bigger than just receiving people into your home, but it's receiving people into the church. It's receiving people at work. How can we be hospitable in the places that we sort of take ownership of? How can you make others feel welcome here at church? Are we a hospitable congregation? Do we reach out to guests, to visitors, those who worship with us? Do we take time to seek out guests? Do we seek to engage them in conversation? A simple welcome, a simple conversation is the beginning of hospitality. It's the beginning of hospitality that we are to extend as a community of God's people. It's an attempt to welcome people into your life, to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel at home, to put some of their fears to rest. You know, it's easy. I understand how easy it is to engage in conversation with people that you're comfortable with. It doesn't take a lot of work to get conversation going. Conversation comes easily, but we need to be aware of how we can be hospitable here in the congregation. To look out for those who are new or people that you don't know, to try to engage them in conversation. Are we a welcoming community? There's a man named Jean Vanier who wrote a book, Community and Growth, and he reflected on this kind of stuff, how we can be a welcoming community. And he said this, "Welcome is one of the signs that a community is alive. To invite others to live with us is a sign that we aren't afraid and that we have a treasure of truth and peace to share. In a community which refuses to welcome, whether through fear, weariness, insecurity, a desire to cling to comfort, or just overwhelmed with visitors, is spiritually dying." There's much truth to that. If we are insecure or tired or just want to be comfortable, then we are dying as a community. If we're just focused on ourselves, staying in our own groups, then we are a dying community. If we just like our comfort, then we're a dying community. How can we look out for the visitor, the stranger, the guest? And how can we welcome them into our lives, into our congregation? So I want to challenge you to nurture hospitality in your life by making it a goal here at church. Maybe your goal should be to simply introduce yourself to one person every week and have a conversation with them. And you know that person might be a long-time visitor or a long-time member, but maybe you just don't know them yet. It's hard to get to know everyone in the congregation. Introduce yourself to one new person every week. Or make a goal yourself. It doesn't have to be that goal. How can we extend hospitality to those who visit? So we're called to extend hospitality to one another here as a congregation. Before we start to talk about how we extend hospitality using our homes, I recognize how hard it is to get in a conversation with someone here at church, and you can't break away, and you get caught in another conversation, you can't break away, and there are people who are standing by themselves or visitors who are just walking out. We need to be okay with saying, look, I'd love to continue this later, but there's someone I have to say hi to before they leave. And the person that you're talking to, if someone says that to you, we have to be okay. We don't take offense to that. Find encouragement in that. And look, then be encouraged to look out for others. I want us to be able to be comfortable saying that. Look, let's continue this. Give me 10 minutes, even. There's someone I have to say hi to. We have to recognize that it's not just my job. It's not just the elder's job to be a welcoming congregation. It's your job. It's our job. We do this together to be a congregation that is hospitable. Now, how can you use your life outside the church community to extend hospitality? For many of us, it's intimidating to have people into our homes. We think that everything needs to be perfect. Everything needs to be absolutely clean. And we have to serve a 7-course meal. That's what we think of. That's what comes to mind when I think of hospitality, or oftentimes comes to mind when I think of hospitality. But that is not the definition. You don't have to have everything perfect in your house. You don't have to have your life all in order to extend hospitality. And so I encourage you to simply think about ways that you can start off in a simple way to have people over for coffee. Sit out on your porch. They don't even need to come into your house if you're afraid of that. Or sit around a campfire. Do something where it doesn't take a lot of preparation. You don't have to plan a 7-course meal. Or just have them over for dessert or buy some ice cream. We don't have to make this complicated. Start off simple. But just as God has welcomed us into His house and worked to be hospitable to us, we also are to invite others into our homes. And it's really in our homes where we get to share much of our lives. That's where some of the best conversations I've had have been. That's where we get to linger and get past the formalities of conversation. We can ask some good questions. So make it a goal. What's maybe one thing you could do every month? Talk to your spouse or your family, or if you're single, talk to another single person and get together and think about, okay, how could we do this? How can we be hospitable? Maybe one time a month, have someone into your home. Just start off one time a month with coffee on the porch. It takes work, yes. And it's going to take intentional thinking and planning, yes. But this is what God calls us to do. And this is an instrument that God uses to build up His church and strengthen us in both numbers and maturity. So look around here and ask yourself, who needs to feel comforted? Who needs a conversation? Who could use a good friend? Who could use a welcoming conversation? Who could use a meal? Over the years, I've received loads and loads of hospitality, and I, as I said earlier, I didn't realize how much work it does take to plan, to prepare, to host, to clean up. It takes a lot of time. But it has to be a part of our lives because we've been the recipient of such great hospitality. On my travels before I came here to Geneva, or before I came here to College Hill, I was traveling with two friends, and I'd planned a little extended stay over in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And we actually, that was a hub, and so we went through the United Arab Emirates a few times, and so we just extended a stay for 4 days there just to see the city. It's one of the richest countries in the world. And earlier on in the trip, I met someone who had stayed in the United Arab Emirates just a few months before. And so she gave us some contacts of people to get in touch with there. And I contacted them through email. And we arrived. They said, they said, yeah, come on over and we'll take care of you. And that was it. And we got there and someone was there to pick us up. They drove an hour and a half to pick us up from the airport. They actually didn't live in Dubai. We went to them. We went and stayed with them. They planned for the full 4 days that we were there. We got to see things that I never dreamed we would see. I was blown away with the kind of hospitality that I received. They didn't know me from any stranger. They didn't know me from Adam. And yet they were ready to extend such hospitality. They didn't just sort of point us in a direction, but they welcomed us. They received us and went far above and beyond anything that we could have ever dreamed of. How can we lavishly extend hospitality to one another? To consider it an honor to have people into our homes, to consider it an honor to reach out to people, to be a servant to people. There's lots of stories of people who have been transformed simply by having people into their home. Being able to be the recipient of hospitality. It's a powerful tool used for the kingdom, but we don't use it enough. God has overwhelmed us with His hospitality, so let's use our lives. Let's live hospitable lives, have hospitable homes, be a hospitable congregation. And let's see what Christ does for us. And through us and with us. And may His name be glorified as we extend hospitality to one another. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the fact that You have invited us into Your house. And that You invite us every day. And You invite us every week. And we get to meet with You and talk with You and hear from You. You are the most gracious host to us. Now, Father, let us in turn be hospitable people. People who are always intentionally looking out to see how we can serve, how we can welcome, how we can receive those around us. And Father, please use our homes to do ministry. Show us how to do this in a way that's feasible. Not have expectations to do everything extravagantly. And we pray, God, that You would let us see fruit from this kind of ministry. That we would see people's lives changed. That as we welcome unbelievers into our homes, that we'd see their lives changed. That as we welcome one another into our homes, we would see lives changed. We'd build each other up in the faith. Do great things through us for Your name's sake, not for our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.